Deerhead Radio on AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears in Paso Robles, 1621 North River Road. Shifting Gears has you covered from your weekend cruiser to your daily commuter. And now let's join Jimmy Purdy on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, and KPRL.com.
Good morning. Welcome in. Thanks for tuning in. Again, this is Jimmy Purdy with Shifting Gears Auto Repair, bringing you Gearhead Radio on AM 1230, KPRL. If you're just tuning in for the first time, welcome in. I have no idea where we're going today, but I'm glad you're along for the ride, so buckle up. Here we go. Phone lines are open, 805-238-5775, 805-238-KPRL. I'm sure you have that number ingrained in your brain. I hope so. Unless you're new here, welcome to the show. This is where the locals go. So you made the right choice this morning. Like I said, I have no idea where I'm going today, so I'm just going to keep pumping these taglines until you can't forget them. Any events you got going on today, always feel free to call and shout them out if they're automotive related, preferably. Speaking of that, Mike over at CP Corvette in Atascadero, that's today in about an hour. I think the cars are already driving down there. On the way in this morning, I saw a bunch of cars heading the opposite direction. So I'm assuming they're heading down to Atascadero to that event. If you don't know where it is, it's right off the, what is the name of that street? Just look up CP Corvette. It's in Atascadero. It's on the front. It's like on the side of the highway. His shop is like right on the, you can see the 101 from his front door. I'm trying to think of the name of that street. That's all right. You can Google it. You can find it. 10 to 3 today. It'll probably go a little later than that. He always throws a good party. He's got food trucks, little band going on. It's going to be a good time. First car show of the season. So it's time to get out there. And it should be a nice day. I think it's only going to be 80 today. So not super hot. Still going to be nice. Speaking of weather, let's get into that. So today is a high of 86 is expected for Paso Robles. A little bit cooler in Atascadero, but tomorrow it's climbing back up into the 90s into next week. So back into the 90s Monday and Tuesday. Cools down just a little bit Wednesday, Thursday into Friday, where we get back up into the 90s again for next weekend. So we got nothing but warm weather and sunny skies in the forecast, which is good. Once you acclimate, you got to acclimate a little bit. I think I'd rather have it just kind of stay warm. Like this morning was nice. I mean, it's just the mornings have been really nice. In the evenings, it's that roller coaster ride when you're like wearing the sweater when you leave the house, and you got to take it off in the middle of the day. You can't quite acclimate. And then when it's 80, 85, it just feels like it's 100 because you just haven't got used to it yet. But it feels good now. I'm okay with it. For what it's worth. The warm weather is here. Let's see if it's here to stay, but probably have some rain here, I'm sure, in the next month, and that'll make it nice and humid. But, yeah. Any other events you got going on, or if you got anything going on with your vehicle, phone lines are open. Feel free to call in at any time to interrupt. I feel like today I have a few things I want to go over first, and then we'll get into some check engine light stuff, because that's always fun. It's always fun when the money light comes on. That's what we like to call it. It's like a transmission fluid that's real burnt smelling. It's like, that's the smell of money, right? Whether that's good or bad, it's good for the one fixing it, bad for the one that's got to spend it, but either way, it smells like money. Anyway. All right, let's get into some recalls going on before we get into that stuff. So, Hyundai has got a stop sale going on. Now, this is kind of a sad story, but it's worth bringing it up because safety is number one. And this is a really important thing here. So there's a little bit of a story here with the Hyundai. So they got a stop sale going on for the new Palisades after a fatal accident with a small child. That's why it's a little sad here. So Hyundai issued a notice to dealers Friday, March 13th, that it is pausing the sales of certain 2026 Palisade SUVs following a fatal incident involving a two-year-old earlier than earlier that week. According to the notice released by the automaker, the power second and third row seats found in the Palisade Limited and Calligraphy models may fail to detect occupants or objects when folding or sliding. In its release, Hyundai expressed its deepest sympathies to the family of the child, while admitting that it does not yet have full details surrounding the accident. At the same time, automakers is urging current Palisade owners to exercise caution when operating the second and third row power functions. Specifically, Hyundai said the owner should avoid pressing the seat back button while entering or exiting the vehicle. Hyundai filed a recall for the 2026 Palisade following the accident. The recall covers 61,000 limited and calligraphy trim Palisades in the United States. Roughly 8,000 of them that meet the same criteria are located in Canada. Hyundai is still working on a permanent fix for the issue and is offering rental vehicles to the affected owners until the full remedy is available. While it's working on a permanent solution, Hyundai is developing an interim over-the-air software update to increase the sensitivity and overall safety of the sensor. Hyundai expects the over-the-air update to be available by the end of March. Another spokesman for Kia did say that there are currently no Telluride models on sale that are equipped with the similar power-operated third row. The automaker is reviewing its own powered second rows to see if they are similarly dangerous to the Hyundai versions. And if you didn't know, Hyundai and Kia are one and the same, so the Kia Telluride is the Hyundai Palisade. That might have hurt some feelings of those who bought the Hyundai because it is a little bit nicer vehicle, but you get the idea. I'll let you put that two and two together as far as what happened in that accident. But yes, the automatic power seats on the Hyundais is a one button push. You push it once and it will fold itself away, stow itself away, which is not the best design, I think, in my opinion anyway. Should be a button where you have to hold down continuously till it goes, but it's an automated one. So you hit the button once and it folds itself away. And without the proper pressure sensors on there, there's nothing left to stop it. So quite a sad story there, but goes to say, just because these cars are brand new and all this technology is being evolved, cars are still dangerous. So it's a good PSA there for the Hyundai Palisades. Nice cars other than that, though. I'm really impressed. To segue off of Kias and Hyundais, really impressed with where they've come in the last decade. You know, the price point's decent. Don't really see many issues with them as far as any different than what we see with everything else. Everyone asks a lot. This is a big question, is what should I buy? What's the best car to buy? I was like, well, I only see the broken ones. So I don't know. I don't know the ones that don't break because I don't see them at the shop. So I can give you a list of ones that I see, and then if the one you're looking at is not on my list, that's probably the best way to navigate that question, right? But the Hyundais and the Kias, they're solid vehicles. For the price point, for what you're buying, for what you need, they aren't what they were in the early 2000s. They got a pretty bad rap back then. And I mean, for a good cause, too. They were terrible, terrible cars. It was almost like the Daewoos. The Daewoo and the Kia were like on par. I don't know who was better there, but they're both pretty terrible. The only frustration I have with the Hyundais or the Kias is parts. Parts are extremely difficult to get. Now, the aftermarket's really stepped up. Starting to get better with that. But we've really started looking into maybe stocking some of these unique parts specifically for the Hyundais and the Kias because we are seeing a lot of them. It's probably one of the only vehicles that we get into the shop. Not one of the only ones. It's one of the percentage-wise, there's a large percentage of those vehicles that are being repaired. They're not being thrown away anymore. I think the wave has caught on. I think the initial investment was low enough where it makes sense to put $5,000 or $6,000 into repair of the vehicle to keep it going, which makes sense. You would think if you wrote it down on paper, if you bought, let's just use BMW as an option here. Say you spend $80,000 on a BMW, and then 8 years later you're up to bat for $10,000 for a repair on it. I'm just throwing some loose numbers. I feel like in that situation, the sunk cost is so great that you just, you know what, I don't want to spend another 10 because I've already spent 80, and that means I've put 90 into this car and it's just not worth it. Whereas if you look at it on the other side, well, if you spend $80,000, why wouldn't you spend $10,000 on the vehicle to keep it running? You feel like that would be the more logical thing, but in the real world, your brain at that point in time, you're just frustrated and you don't want to spend any more because you've already spent so much on it. Why did it let you down? All the whatever emotional stuff you got going on. That's like, that's what really happens. Then alternatively, if you spend $30,000 on a Kia or a Hyundai, and then later on you get a $10,000 repair, like, well, I've only got 30 into it so far, so I'm still half the cost of what that new BMW would have cost. So I don't know. Does that make sense? I feel like that's, so that's why I've really taken a shining to those vehicles, because they come in, they get repaired, and then they're solid for a long time. There's not like a lot of, they don't come in with like 15 different problems. They come in with like one specific problem, and the rest of the car is pretty solid. So anyway, enough with the segue and the rant about Kias. Let's get into some check engine light stuff. I'm going to take a quick break and I'll be right back.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs, just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Are you prepared? Uncle Ed's Outfitters is offering basic to advanced training. They are licensed CPRA, NRA, USCCA, and offer specialty classes in firearms assembly and maintenance courses. It's good to own a firearm, but it's a perishable skill, and you need to be prepared to use it. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Find us at AtascaderoGunShop.com. Uncle Ed's Outfitters in Atascadero on South El Camino Real in the Oaks Plaza.
Gold is at an all-time high. Now is the time to take your scrap gold and turn it into cash or trade it in for new jewelry at Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry in Paso Robles. Take the old or broken bracelets, chains, rings, or trinkets that you never wear and go home with cash in your pocket, or get an additional 25% off to use towards a new item. Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry is family-owned and located at 1224 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Paso Robles. Open Wednesday through Saturday.
Who's got the best breakfast around? A recent survey says it's a three-way tie between Joe's Place in Paso, Joe's Place in Templeton, and Joe's One Niner Diner at the Paso Robles Airport. Who took the survey? People with great taste who like food that tastes great. By the way, their lunches are great too. Joe's Place in Paso, Joe's Place in Templeton, and Joe's One Niner Diner at the Paso Robles Airport. Open every day from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. for breakfast and lunch. Thank you, fellow Americans.
If I said remember us, would you know what comes next? I'm not sure, but maybe if I added, hello there, it's Jared. Now you got it. Maybe just a little more help? So here I go. Yes, hello, it's Jared with Hutch Heating and Air. Remember us? Heater not helping much? Call Hutch. Hutch Heating and Air of Atascadero at 466-8199. Or look us up on the web at hutchheatingandair.com.
Keep that vehicle looking its best with the help from Golden Hill Car Wash. Your choice of state-of-the-art Razor Touchless Wash with ceramic wax and the Ryko Soft Gloss Max 5, both with the latest technology. Plus, Golden Hill Car Wash offers six wash bays, including RV, all with spotless rinse. Plus, they've got vacuums for you. Keep it looking its best. Golden Hill Car Wash. Paso Robles.
And we're back. Thanks for tuning in. This is Gearhead Radio. I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. located at 1621 North River Road in Paso Robles. You can check us out online at shiftthengears805.com. If you're if you've been into the shop before, first of all, thank you so much for coming in and allowing us to help you with your vehicle. With that being said, we have what we call the Key Lime Rewards Program, because we don't want no lemons. You bring the keys, and we got the limes. So you go on there, you can check your balance. You actually earn 2% back on all your repairs on all your vehicles. So if you've been in recently, you may have gotten a text that showed what your rewards balance is. The really cool thing about that is you earn money as you refer as well. So there's a referral program built into that, where you send the link as a referral, you earn a couple bucks, you're referred, earns a couple bucks for their first visit. And if you're curious how much you got on your rewards card, you can check that online at shiftinggears805.com. Look yourself up, and then you just put your phone number. It's super simple. The phone number you used when you came into the shop, that's the number you'd have to use, because that's the one we have that locks it. You also get texts that will remind you that what your balance is, and as it begins to get close to expiring. But pretty cool. 2% back on everything. So check that out. All right. Phone lines are open. 805-238-5775. If you have a question about your vehicle, I'm here for the next 45 minutes to bring you my close to 18 years of ASC Master Technician experience to help you as much as I can navigate the complexity of the modern day automobile. How's that sound? That was pretty solid. Or you can just kick back and I'll just keep on talking. And so the next thing we want to get into is check engine lights. Because as the temperature changes, few things that happen with your vehicle. Tires are number one. 1 PSI for every 10 degrees of difference in temperature. So we always want to make sure we're checking the tire pressure. Because the number one thing that happens is the tire pressure light comes on. We all probably don't trust it because it comes on, it seems, for everything, but it's always good practice just to double check it when that light comes on, because it might be that one time that it's right. It's kind of like the boy who cried wolf, right? The light comes on enough, you start ignoring it, especially if the vehicle's running fine and everything feels fine. I'm going to ignore it. But don't do that. At least take a few minutes to check your tire pressure. And with that being said, if your check engine light has been on for an extended period of time, that doesn't mean there isn't other problems that are starting to come up behind the scene. Unfortunately, with the check engine light, there's one light for thousands of different possibilities. So just because the engine light's come on, you had it checked one time and someone said, oh, it's probably the gas cap. So you said, oh, I'm not worried about it. It's just the gas cap. Well, there might be other issues that are a little bit more pressing that are coming on behind the scene. It'll start building codes. And so that one code might turn into 15 codes. And the light stays the same. It's not going to change a different color or have another light. Now, it will start flashing, but you'll usually feel the vehicle running pretty poorly if the engine light's flashing. And that's a pretty good indicator to stop driving the vehicle. Get it home, and that's it. You don't want to keep driving it. It does create more problems. A flashing check engine light will damage the catalytic converter. That's basically what it is, as simply as in a form as possible. It's basically saying that we got a problem that's so severe in the engine that we have a lot of unburnt fuel getting into the catalytic converter, and it's going to damage that component, which is expensive. So don't do that. Sometimes the lost cause fallacy, where you say, well, it's already this bad, how much worse can it get? I get that, but also you can cause more damage and it would cost you more money. You know, I say that with like automatic transmissions. Well, yes, if it's not shifting correctly or it's slipping or it's whatever's going on with it or it's overheating, it's going to need to be rebuilt or replaced. So yeah, get it where you need to go. Yeah, it's going to cause more damage, but the thing needs to be rebuilt anyway. So That's what I mean with a lost cause fallacy. It's like, it's already this bad, so it's not going to get much worse. But there's other things that it doesn't apply with. So it's not a universal statement. But let's get back to check engine lights. One thing I want to bring up is a couple of the most common ones that we see at the shop. That's what's important to you, because there is so many codes. If you looked up every single OBD2 style check engine light code that can come on with your vehicle, it's just maddening. It's kind of like looking into a law book for legal practice and trying to understand and memorize every single different legal law code that's out there, right? It's probably a little bit more, to be honest, with the P codes, the U codes, the B codes, and then all the complexity numbers after that. Good morning on Gearhead Radio.
You know what I haven't heard about in a while is that Leno law. Are we making any progress on that, you think?
I have not heard anything. The Repair Act is making a lot of ground. So the Right to Repair Act, that's still in full effect. Nothing really changed with that. But I have not heard anything with the Leno law. No updates on
it. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Toes and fingers and legs and arms.
Thanks, Jim.
You got it. Bye. That's a good question, though. Yeah, it's you never know when things get quiet like that when it goes into legislation. Is it moving forward or is it going back? I don't know. But I'll be researching it every week. I like to stay on top of that kind of stuff. It's important. Where was that? Oh, check engine lights. So some of the check engine lights. Yeah, memorizing them all. I've never gone into memorizing, but I just see enough of them that it sticks in your memory after a while, right? So it's like I see certain codes and numbers. The P codes is the big ones. We'll try to stay on track with that one. That's powertrain. So anything that starts with a P is a powertrain. You get the U codes, and that's communication. It's something different, a little bit more complex, or I don't know. I'd say sometimes it's a little bit easier. I think the communication codes are a little bit more straightforward to get into, but we'll stick with the P codes for now. So one of the most common ones we see a lot of is the P0420, which is basically the death code of the catalytic converter. It's between that one and the P0128, which is the coolant thermostat below regulating temperature. Those are pretty much the top two as far as we see that code. There's really not much to diagnose. There's not a whole lot more that it can be other than the catalytic converter and the thermostat. Does that mean that there's nothing else? No, it doesn't. And just in 98% of the time, those two codes, PO420, catalytic converter system efficiency is below threshold. So if you've seen an exhaust system on a vehicle, you have two oxygen sensors on one bank or per bank. You have one oxygen sensor, or now what they call an air fuel ratio sensor, but we'll keep it basic here. Oxygen sensor before the cat, one after the cat. Now, the idea of the oxygen sensor is to measure the amount of oxygen in the exhaust. That's it. All it does is measure oxygen. Doesn't measure fuel, doesn't measure nothing else. It just measures the oxygen content. And it needs to see a differential or a fixed amount of oxygen coming out on the backside of the catalytic converter. If the oxygen is varying, if it's getting a little bit of oxygen and a lot of oxygen, if it sees a lot of variance after the catalytic converter, that means that it's now below the threshold. Now, there's a few other parameters in there, but that's like, to keep it simple, that's basically what it's looking for. So with that being said, typically that means that the only component that's going to change that is the catalytic converter. That chemical conversion going on to keep that oxygen level nice and consistent, because the oxygen sensor before the cat is always going to be varying, because the engine's always going rich and then lean, which means it's adding fuel and subtracting fuel to keep the oxygen at a median. So you have like this kind of roller coaster ride, and that's what gives you your stoichiometric or 14.7:1 fuel ratio is the variance. It doesn't keep it linear in a straight line. It's always a little rich, a little lean, which means adding some fuel, cutting the fuel, adding the fuel, cutting the fuel. This is doing this very, very, very quickly, like in like a scale of 200 milliseconds quickly. So it's very, very, very quick. So of course the vehicle is just going to run normally. You're not going to feel that. You're not going to know about it, but the sensor can see it. So the sensor after the catalytic converter After it goes through its conversion process of the catalyst, it will then have a basic oxygen output that should stay pretty stable. And if it's not, then it sets the light. Now, when I say 98% of the time, it means the catalytic converter is because there's really nothing else in that. Now, this is where the variable comes in, and we're talking about the 2%. If that oxygen sensor is skewed and the computer thinks that the oxygen sensor is smart, but it's not, right? If it doesn't, if it's just assuming that the oxygen sensor is in good shape, it can do that. And if you have any sort of exhaust leaks around the catalytic converter after the catalyst, it can also skew those results too. So there's your 2%. I gotta take a break. We'll be right back.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero. See their online specials at aceautocare.com.
Fox News, I'm Jack Callahan. A joint American-British base in the Indian Ocean has been targeted by Iranian missiles.
Two intermediate-range ballistic missiles were fired at Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean. Both the United States and the United Kingdom maintain a base there. Neither of the missiles found a mark. One was intercepted.
Fox's Mike Tobin, a statement reportedly from Iran's new supreme leader, refutes claims that Iran can no longer make missiles or enrich uranium. Flash flooding in Hawaii triggering a week of heavy rains. Honolulu's Mayor Rick Blangiardi urging residents to shelter in place.
Police, I watch news radio all day long and seeing people driving through deep water. We have said countless times, do not do that. If you can get to a safe place, stay there.
At least 200 people have been rescued by first responders. America is listening to Fox News.
I'm Ron Torres, owner of Seniors Helping Seniors. I left corporate America to help seniors who need friendship, non-medical care, and a helping hand. Seniors have great conversations and understand each other. Join our team of mature caregivers. Or maybe you need that helping hand. Call me, 805-369-2110, 369-2110, or seniorcareslo.com. That's seniorcareslo.com. Seniors Helping Seniors.
Hello, everybody. This is Danny from Paso Tile and Stone, where elegance is made affordable. You know, actually, people have told me, I miss your commercials. Well, this commercial is a thank you commercial for all the contractors. We have 35 regular contractors that buy from us consistently. Thank you to them. Thank you for the homeowners for all the repeat business. We had a great year last year, an increase of 33%. So thank you for that. How about we celebrate by giving you prefabs for $99? We have tile for 99 cents. We have luxury vinyl for $1.99 to $2.99. We have buy one, get one free slabs. So come on down to our showroom for our tile and slabs, 3850 Ramada. And for luxury vinyl and cabinets, please come to 447 North Main Street, Templeton. Blessings to you and your family. Thank you.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs. Just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
The Taylor Ranch has a new bison harvest in, and it's selling fast. I'm Susanna Luthi, host of KPRL's Free Talk California and Rancher. I want our community to thrive one plate of bison at a time. We've got new offerings like spicy bison sausage and a bison club that keeps you and meat all year long and gives special perks like a ranch bison safari. Bison transports you back 100 years when meat was what nature intended. Wild, wildly nutritious, and so very delicious. Order now at Taylor Ranch 1868.
The Spirit of Paso Robles Restaurant has a wonderful atmosphere for all your friends and family. Spirit of Paso Robles in the River Oaks neighborhood is now serving weekly dinner specials like fried chicken on Wednesdays, Alaskan halibut Fridays, prime rib Saturday, and barbecue ribs on Sunday. Tell your friends and family to meet you at the new local favorite, the Spirit of Paso Robles Restaurant, located in the River Oaks neighborhood, right in the middle of the golf course.
Welcome back. Thanks for tuning in. This is Gearhead Radio with your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. Got to get a quick shout out to Mike at CP Corvette. Looks like his parking lot is getting pretty filled up. So if you're looking for something to do today, that's an awesome day to do that. Look up CP Corvette, Pacifica Corvette in Atascadero. He does a lot of Corvette parts. He doesn't. It's not a repair shop. He just sells Corvette parts. But he's doing a customer appreciation barbecue, little car show. Lots of cool cars down there already. So if you're looking for something to do, maybe you're in the car already, just swing by and go say hi. Mike's a super nice guy, and he always puts on a good show. He's got food trucks, got a live band going on. Put that on your calendar for today. If you got something you want to promote, I'm always happy to do that. I know the Golden State Classics is coming up. We're getting ready to get our coffee handout for that. So we'll be there again, handing out free coffee coming up in May. Looking forward to that. But we're always happy to help donate with any other causes too. So if you have a car show you're putting together, you're looking for something, count on us to be there and help out as much as we can. Love giving back to the community. It's the most fun thing in the world to do, especially giving out free coffee. That's important, you know. You got to have your coffee. Makes sense. I know Barrel House is gearing up for their Motorama too, so we got a lot of cool car shows going on. So always make sure you stay tuned in to Gearhead Radio every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. to stay up to date with the latest events. And if you have something you want to promote, again, feel free to call in, or you can text it so you don't have to put yourself on the air. 805-238-5775 is the text line or the call-in line. So whatever's easier for you, whatever you want to do. We're also working to put a community calendar tab together on our website so that we can make sure we got all the scheduled events on the website easily for you to find. I know it's sometimes difficult to find out what's going on. Sometimes you drive around the county and you're like, oh, there's a car show. I didn't know about that. And so it's, I get it. Sometimes they're impromptu, but most of the time they're pretty well organized. I know the Templeton, Atascadero, Paso, Santa Margarita, and San Miguel rotation is, I believe it's going to be starting here pretty soon. If you're following on Facebook, I think they're planning on doing it here next month with the warm weather going on. So I would just look up Paso Robles Car Community on Facebook, and they're pretty good about keeping that updated. And as soon as I know, I'll let you know as well. All right, we were talking about check engine lights, talking about catalytic converters. I hope you're following me along with that one. I know I get a little technical sometimes, but hopefully I broke it down in a way that makes sense. Oxygen sensors monitor the catalytic converter efficiency. So typically, now I kind of left that at the end there before the break, as far as saying if the oxygen sensor is not monitoring the oxygen correctly, the computer is just going to take that input and run with it. But that's not entirely correct, because there are a lot of parameters that the oxygen sensor has to meet before the computer will start listening to it, right? It's kind of like when you get in a conversation with someone, they got to tell you a little bit of truth before you start believing their BS, right? If they start BSing you right away, you're like, yeah, I'm not listening to anything this guy's saying. Kind of the same concept. So there is some self-test that the oxygen sensor has to pass before the computer will deem that the information coming is accurate, because there's check engine lights for O2 sensors. And that gets into the P0 codes, the P01 codes, which get into like P03 and 4s. And in that sense, a lot of that will either do with the oxygen sensor heater element, or the fact that it's either stuck low or stuck high. There's many different codes for the oxygen sensor as well. So what I'm getting to here is the idea or the thought that, or the conditions where the oxygen sensor can actually pass its own self-tests, but still be skewed enough to trick the computer into thinking the oxygen output of the catalytic converter is different. It's a very, very rare circumstance. But it's rare, which means it happens. So 2% rule here. That's the biggest thing. So with that being said, the other big one is the holes in the exhaust. Another thing that you don't really think of. Recently we had an engine mount situation where the frame was cracked. And it's just something you do the work so many times, you know, throughout the month, throughout the years, it's not something you really look for. You're not really looking to see if the frame is cracked because the motor mount is not sitting correctly. So again, 2% rule, right? That's a pretty rare circumstance. It's not something that we see all the time, so it's not something you're accustomed to looking for, right? Does that make it right? No, you got to take the time, make sure you're looking at everything. But my point is sometimes if with the catalytic converter, if the exhaust has a little bit of a hole in it, or the weld is cracked or something like that, you just got to take the moment and visually inspect it, make sure that there's no problems going on. Now, if you're looking for an exhaust leak, a little tech tip for you, a little tech tip for Saturday, use a vacuum. I use a vacuum all the time to check for exhaust leaks. But you don't use it on the vacuum setting. You set it on the blow setting. So if you have a shop vac, you ever used a shop vac before in your life, which I hope you have, there's one spot of it that sucks the dirt in, and then you have the filtered air that blows out on the backside. And if you've realized, you can actually disconnect that hose and you can click the hose on to the output, and now the sucker becomes a blower. Okay, so now you take that and you shove that into the tailpipe of the exhaust. Now this might take two people because you need to put a little rag around it, make sure you get it in there and it stays in there. Turn the vacuum on. Now you're blowing air up into the engine. Now you take a little soapy bottle of water and you go around the rest of the exhaust and you kind of spray around anywhere that you think it might be leaking. And if it is, you'll see air bubbles. You'll see the soap bubbles. Easy, easy way to determine if the manifold's got a crack on it, if it's leaking from the manifold gasket, if the welds are failing, if we do any exhaust work, if we're welding something on. I don't start it and then put my hand around it looking for exhaust leaks. When it's still cold, you do it that way and you'll instantly know if you missed any spots, especially on the top there. It's always where it's missed, but a little tech tip if you're looking for exhaust leaks. So with that being said, I'll move on to the next most common ones, which is the coolant thermostat below regulating temperature. That's the PO128. That's also another one where there typically isn't much that can cause that code other than the thermostat. Now, the thermostat in the vehicle is the same thermostat they've been using for 100 years. It's a little spring in there. As it heats up, it starts opening and it allows coolant to then flow through the engine. And the idea behind that is it allows the engine to get warmer a little faster so it can be a little bit more efficient, and because a warm engine runs better. So that's the idea behind it. Been using it for decades and decades and decades. Now, recently they decided, oh, we should redesign the thermostat. And I'll get to that in a minute, which, because it doesn't make any sense to me at all. Because a thermostat's a fairly inexpensive fix. And it works. It doesn't need to be fancy. It shouldn't be fancy. We see the thermostat valves they started putting in transmission cooling lines for like the 6-speed, the 6L80s. Nothing but problems out of them. In fact, when we do a service, we remove that thermostat and we put a bypass valve in it because there's no need for the transmission fluid to get warm. It just makes absolutely zero sense. The amount of time that you're saving to get that transmission fluid up to temp, or the amount of fuel savings that you're saving is unreal versus the cost of when that valve sticks and it burns the transmission up. Because most of the light duty vehicles don't have a trans temp gauge on them. So you have no idea if the transmission is overheating until it stops working. And what happens with a thermostat valve on the transmission cooling lines is it gets stuck and then it doesn't allow the fluid to get to the cooler up front. And so it doesn't cool the transmission. And it doesn't take much more than about 50 miles before that transmission fluid overheats. I mean, honestly, it's probably closer to 20 or 30 miles when they get really stuck, because the valve is right at the front of the transmission, and so the fluid doesn't go anywhere. It just sits there and just cooks, and it just the biggest waste of engineering time I've ever seen in my life. So we remove it. We put a bypass in there. Now, you've probably heard back in the day, older vehicles, you could pull the thermostat out because it was the same thing. There was a lot of fear of that thermostat getting stuck and the engine overheating. Pretty rare, but it does happen. Thermostats made nowadays in these modern vehicles are designed to pop open when they fail. So when that thermostat starts getting a little stuck, that spring overrides it, boom, it pops straight open. Now the engine takes a little bit longer to warm up, and this is where the code comes in. So when you turn the key to start the vehicle, the computer puts a timer on, and it knows how long it should take depending on the ambient temperature outside, the temperature of the coolant, how long it should take before that engine gets to operating temperature. If it exceeds that, it knows that thermostat is stuck open, and then it sets the code. No drivability issues. In fact, like I said, for many years, a lot of guys just pull the thermostat out and run the engines for years with no thermostat in it. Well, the engine runs a little bit cooler. It does affect emissions slightly. It is, so that's why you set the code. So the car manufacturer said, we need to make sure there's a thermostat so that the engine can get warmer faster, which saves a little bit of fuel, right? The whole thing there. So that's why it sets the code, because the thermostat is stuck open. What could cause that besides the thermostat? I have not found anything personally in my experience. I have not seen anything that could cause that other than the thermostat. If it's the temperature sensor, it's going to set a code for that thermostat temperature sensor, because there's other variables that go in. If it just never reaches operating temp, it's going to cause a circuit fault for that temp sensor, because eventually it does reach operating temperature with it stuck open, because thermostats do get open, right? When you start the car, it slowly opens and finally it opens all the way. So eventually the engine does get up to operating temperature. It just doesn't do it in the time parameter that the computer wants to see it. So if like the temperature sensor was skewed and it never saw the temp get to where it needs to be at it or ever, then you're going to get a different code for it. It's a pretty unique situation that I have not come across that would cause the regulating temperature to be below regulating temperature, or that's what the code is, the PO128, coolant thermostat below its regulating temperature. You could have maybe a temperature sensor that's skewed low, like say it's like 20 degrees off, but there's an ambient air temperature of the vehicle that's usually around the airbox. There's actually one on the mass airflow sensor, and then you have another one that's on the vehicle for the gauge on the vehicle. So if those are off by 20 degrees, it's gonna say, okay, which two are the closest, and then which one's the one that's not telling me the truth, and then it's gonna set a code for that. You see what I'm saying? So there's a lot of redundancy sensors for temperature that it can rely on. Can it happen? Sure, but I'd probably put that at like a percent or a half a percent. I'd like to hear a story if there was that code that came on that was anything but the thermostat. Because I've racked my brain trying to figure out what else could possibly cause that code and what could we test to verify it, and there's just not. And every single time, it's a stuck open thermostat. So, we got to take a break again. I'll be right back.
Michael's Optical in Atascadero welcomes spring by reminding you they have a great selection of sunglasses, as well as glasses and frames from infants to adults, and top brand names in fashion eyewear by Oakley, Silhouette, Maui Jim, and Ray-Ban. Make sure you check the special VIP savings that are available, as well as a 40% discount on selected frames that even St. Patty would appreciate. Remember, at Michael's Optical, they have an in-house finishing lab, which means fast repairs, custom adjustments, and Michael's special one-of-a-kind personal service that they had been proud to offer for the past 47 years. Michael's Optical, now exclusively in Atascadero at 8300 El Camino Real. Look at us, look at us.
Michael's Optical.
Blazon Bear Insurance Services is dedicated to protecting what matters to help clients achieve their strategic goals and objectives. We guide business owners in the areas of key person, business protection, succession, and estate planning, utilizing a secure online business valuation tool that helps them grow and manage their business. We mentor individuals and families to help them strengthen and protect their financial standing with the appropriate use of various life and disability insurance products. And we work with those approaching retirement who are interested in fixed annuities and planning for long-term care needs. We employ a consultative approach to the insurance planning process, making sure that it aligns with your big picture financial goals and objectives. This is Barry Fisher, Blazon Bear Insurance. You deserve a sound and well-balanced strategy and plan. Call today, 805-635-7200, or visit blazonbear.com. And don't miss our weekly radio show, Protecting What Matters, on KPRL, Tuesdays starting at 12:30 p.m.
We ask Nick Medeiros, CPA in Atascadero, what's new as we prepare our taxes?
Yeah, we've got some big upcoming changes courtesy of the big, beautiful bill that was signed back in the summer. How it's going to impact folks and answering questions on that, because it was passed so fast. There's going to be some things that people like and maybe some things folks don't like. They did address some key issues that were the fallout of the previous, call it Trump bill, back in 2017. So they did address one big issue, which was the salt limitation. That's been increased, so that's going to help some folks coming up here. And I know the president touted three key factors he wanted to do with no tax on tips, overtime, Social Security. They got two of those, subject to income limits, because there's always income limits and phase outs on things. And there was a kind of a compromise on Social Security. So those are going to be probably the major points in that bill that affect a lot of people.
Nick Medeiros, CPA, 805-466-7249.
You are tuned in to Gearhead Radio on AM 1230 KPRL. I appreciate you being here. Getting down to the end of the hour here. If you're just tuning in, well, you missed out. Make sure you put it on your calendar. Every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. bringing you Gearhead Radio. And I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. 15-year plus AC Master Technician and owner of Shifting Gears Auto Repair. If there's something you need for your vehicle, bring it on down to the shop Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. At any time, we can help you out with what you need. Alignments, smogs, brakes, what we call a tune-up, transmission services, oil changes. Once you come in, you're part of the family. And we send you all kinds of goodies through the mail, through the phone. We try to keep it light, but we want to make sure that you're getting the best service that you can. So we have a newsletter that we send out. Got lots of coupons in. Check us out in the Greet magazine, new magazine that's going around the county right now. Got a what they call the RPM chat, kind of like ChatGPT, but it's RPM chat. A lot of cool tips in there with a little bit of savings that you can find. Also, still in the Paso and Atascadero magazine. Leanne puts that article together every month, which has tons of great information, just like what we do here. So the idea is to help educate so that you make the best decision for your vehicle. That's what we promote. That's what we do. So with that being said, let's get back into some codes here. Wanted to talk a little bit more about some of the more common codes that we see in the shop. We just went over the PO420, the catalytic system efficiency, and the thermostat. Now, I did kind of bring up the redesign of the thermostats. So if you've ever seen a coolant thermostat, it's very simple. It looks like a little flying saucer. It's not very big, very simple. Typically pretty easy to replace. Sometimes they're a little buried. The easier ones rip up top, two bolts, pull it up, takes you maybe 15, 20 minutes. It takes you longer to put coolant in it than it did to replace the thermostat. Not that case anymore. A lot of them are integrated housings now where it's a plastic housing. Some of them are underneath the intake plenum, so it takes a little bit more time to get to them. That was a little frustrating when they decided to change it from just a thermostat into a thermostat housing where you have to replace the whole plastic doohickey, but that's fine. We're okay with that, I guess. But now the new modern thermostats are now electrically controlled. So there's two or three different thermostats inside of this entire housing unit that has sensors on it, and it all has to be replaced as an integrated unit. And yes, that means it comes with a cost. They're like $300 or $400 for this little magic box of thermostat stuff. And it's about the size of a laptop, maybe a little smaller than that, but just doesn't make any sense. Thermostats have failed for years. We know about that. Engineers know about it. Everybody knows a thermostat fails. So why would you integrate it into this giant block of plastic and not make it serviceable? So you have to replace this whole gigantic piece. I just don't understand. I'm not going to call it the automaker, because it's the only first one I've seen. And I hope it doesn't translate into the rest of the industry. And maybe for some reason, maybe somehow they figured out how to make him not fail as often. So we'll see what goes on with that. But yeah, the 2020s in the automotive industry is getting a little overcomplicated. It kind of seems like when we went into the 80s with the carburetor and the carburetor feedback, we're just adding too much stuff onto something that doesn't have a good foundation, right? You can't add sensors that are as sensitive as they are. We're talking about carburetor feedback systems, and you have sensors that are monitoring a carburetor. That's just never going to work. It's just, the carburetor is just not that accurate. It does a great job. It lasts forever. It's just not that accurate. There's too many variables, too many leaks to have a sensor that's supposed to monitor, you know, at such a close proximity with a small range. It's just, that's too much. You're doing too much. So anyway, the next one we see the most is the PO455s, or getting to the EVAP code. So this is the dreaded gas cap code. Now, a lot of manufacturers have made the gas cap light come on, so because the code was so common, the PO442, the 555 is like a gross leak, and then you have so there's different leaks, right, that come up with that. So just because it's an EVAP code doesn't mean it's a leak. There's a general, like a 440 code, and then you can get into like the different sizes of leaks. The 442 is typically the small leak, which typically means it's the fuel cap. Now, there's also a very small leak that's a different code definition, and that's the new one that they've put in for the gas cap, and I see new within the last 10 years. But they've made an alternative light for that now. Now you have actually a little indicator that says that it has a little, it looks like a gas cap. That's typically for a small leak. But that doesn't always mean that it's the gas cap, because there's a lot of different places that it can leak. Now, what is the EVAP system? That's the vapor recovery. So from the moment you take your gas cap off that neck all the way up until where the hose goes up to the engine on the purge valve, that's all part of the EVAP system. So there's a lot of hoses there. There's hoses that go up into the charcoal canister or the vapor canister, whatever you want to call it, the vent valve, the rollover valve, the seal around the fuel pump, the seal around the filler neck, the hoses that go up to the purge valve, all that stuff. At any point there, if there's any leaks, that's what's going to cause the leak. Now, there's a timer, so when it puts itself into its vacuum mode or its self-test mode, it'll monitor how long it takes for that vacuum or that pressure to bleed off. And if it's not, if it leaks, for one, and then the time hits a certain parameter, it knows, okay, that's going to be considered a small leak. That will be, if it's faster than that, then it's going to be considered a large leak. Does that make sense? I hope that kind of makes sense of how it monitors that. So it doesn't know that the gas cap's leak. It just knows that we lost pressure in this certain amount of time. So that would define it under a small leak. Now, if a rodent got under the vehicle and nibbled on one of the lines, or maybe the hose is 25 years old now and it's just getting a little loose fitting around the plastic nipple, that could also cause a leak. So there's a lot of variables there. Maybe someone got in there, put a fuel pump in a couple of years ago, but they didn't seat the O-ring quite right, and now the O-ring has been compromised, and it's finally, now you hit a bump and it kind of twisted loose and now it's leaking a little bit. Lots of different possibilities there. Of course, the most common thing to do is throw a gas cap at it. Well, you know, gas caps aren't free. So is that something you want to do? You can pull the gas cap off and look and see if the seal looks deteriorated and kind of rotted away. And that's a possibility. And also the interior, there's a little valve inside of the most fuel caps that can fail as well, but not super common. I don't see a lot of failed fuel caps. I mean, I see them, but it's not the most common. When it comes to EVAP failures is what I'm talking about. I've seen more problems with like the purge valves or the canister vent valve getting full of dirt and that valve getting stuck. Not a whole lot of when it comes to that failures as far as the gas cap. Now, does that say they never fail? No, there's plenty of gas caps that fail all the time. It's a big one. So I guess my point is, what is my point? Don't replace parts just based on a code. Get it tested. Get it diagnosed. That way you're not spending money on things you don't need. That's my best advice there. I gotta go. I'll see you next Saturday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Gearhead Radio with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears in Paso Robles on River Road.
You can trust Jimmy and his team to take care of you and your vehicle the first time, every time. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL 99.3 FM. Paso Robles, Tascadero, and Templeton.